Jonathan.
Excuse me. I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Shall I do the roll call for you, Wolf Ulrich?
Yes, thank you very much, Glanswell. Let me just say, well, this is the meeting of the Standing Committee on Improvement Implementation, and so we have our meeting today of several agenda items, and I ask Glenn to make a roll call. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Standing Committee call on the 19th of April, and on the call we have Wolf Ulrich Knobin, Carlos Aguirre, James Bladel, J. Scott Evans, Anne Eichmann-Skellis, Krista Papak, Jonathan Robinson, Ron Andrus, and Avery Doria. And for staff, we have Julie Headland, Marika Koenig, and myself, Glenn de Saint-Gerie. Thank you, Wolf. May I just remind everybody to say their names before speaking for transcription purposes? Thank you, and over to you, Wolf Ulrich.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and hello, everybody. may I ask at first, formally, whether there are any statements of interest from your side? I hear none. So I have provided an agenda for today's meeting, and we will cover the following items. It's on the Adobe Connect. We have the item of the consent agenda. We have an item of deferral of motions, and an item about thresholds, rules needed for delaying a PDP. And in addition, from the last council meeting, there came an item up with regards to proxy voting procedure. If I recall correctly, so in our last meeting in Costa Rica, we have also talked about an item which should be covered, which we should start with. It was a kind of survey about the experience with the new working group procedures and rules on that. And so this is an additional item which is now on our agenda. So since today, so our meeting is scheduled only for one hour, I wonder whether we could cover all those points today. And I would like at first, if you agree, talk about the structure of our future work and any kind of interest you might have in prioritizing the items we have at the time being on the agenda. What is of more interest, of more priority from your point of view, which we should cover, and we could group that in that way, and then start and talk and work on all the items one after the other, as long as the meeting is going on. So I would like to ask you, and I see Ron at first, please, Ron.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich, and greetings to all. For an organization like SCI, for the record, Ron Andruff speaking, sorry, it seems we were very quiet for quite some time, and now we have some very pithy subjects on the table. And unfortunately, I was not able to participate at the Costa Rica meeting, so I feel like I'm a little bit further behind the ball than perhaps others. In any case, the thought that occurred to me was, as we have topics that really need some good discussion, from my view, you know, in terms of where are they, you know, what are the elements and issues that could arise, as well as how would we resolve those types of issues, All of those things need to be aired for these three topics. So the first thought that came to my mind in this regard was perhaps we can air the topics, at least get just general information about them as much as we know on the table as soon as possible, perhaps even in this call. And then we might even consider breaking down into smaller groups that would share the task of kind of assimilating that information into some kind of direction for the group. So for my part, I think the first part I wanted to bring out was simply I'm really ill-informed. There's a lot of information that flew through in the last half a day or last hour that has to get read, and I need to know more background about these issues to be able to bring any serious comment to the table. So I don't know who else stands in that position, but that's where I'm at. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ron. And I see Avery is agreeing to that. Any further comment? From my point of view, it seems to be a good suggestion. To give you at first to start with a brief overview about all these topics before we step into discussion. The other question is for me. One you mentioned already. Okay, we should go into then into sub teams. Let me say this way. So, on the one hand, I would like to have. So that's my feeling, you know, if that is needed, if you need specific experience, you know, on some topics, so from people which might not be on the SCI at the time being, then I would see that, I would agree that to that immediately, to that. On the other hand, we are not a big group, and if we can cover those items which are on the table by ourselves, we should do those. This is my opinion on that, but I'm open to any further comment. Abhi, please.
Well, this is Ron. I apologize. I fell out of the call as soon as I finished speaking. I'm not even sure if you heard me finish. But in any case, I've missed the last minute. Would you remind with what you just said? I'm sorry.
So you didn't hear me?
I never heard a word. I literally fell out of the call.
I was going to take issue with some of it, so perhaps I can repeat it. And I
guess
that'll let us know if I understood it correctly.
Thank you.
And okay. First of all, I did put up agree that in this meeting I think we should talk through the topics and just get into having the basic information and understanding what the issues are. And then later go into that. I heard Ron say, and perhaps consider going into subgroups, and so I agreed with the notion of considering going into subgroups. In the response from Wolf Ulrich, basically I think there was a response to the just going into subgroups, and Wolf Ulrich was saying, well, perhaps we should look at the issues and see, you know, whether we need perhaps more expertise. And then I think, Wolf Ulrich, you actually went beyond what I understood Ron's suggestion to be in terms of pulling outside people into those subgroups. When I heard Ron's suggestion, I heard it in the context of, for example, this time Jay Scott went out and brought in some stuff for us to discuss, or two people could volunteer to write a draft of something in terms of subgrouping. I hadn't heard a suggestion that we go and reach beyond the group to build sub-teams to do this, though I don't necessarily think that's something we mustn't do. I just hadn't heard it in his discussion. And basically, I think I'm agreeing with you, Wolf Ulrich, on whatever that case is, we consider how we're going to approach these things, whether it's as this whole group or people going away and doing tasks and coming back or sub-teams later.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Abhi, thank you very much. Okay. You got the point, so which I raised as well. Thank you. Ron, please.
Thank you. Just to say that, just for clarity, the key is, let's discuss all the elements of these things so everyone's on the same page. And then subsequent to that, if there was a tremendous amount of dialogue, one-hour dialogue on one element, or even 20 minutes, that we would have perhaps people would say, well, listen, I'll write that up for us. I'll kind of collate what just was said into a couple of sentences that I understand what we just discussed. And then from there, we can take the conversation into, you know, into a direction that's a little bit more helpful. So my comment was simply that if we discuss something for 20 minutes and then park it, no problem. But I have a sense some of these things are going to go on for longer than that. And as a result, it would be good if someone was kind of keeping notes on this. I know staff are doing so. Maybe we just leave it for staff to do it. That could be well said. Thank you.
Yes. So thank you, Ron. And okay, then that's a good suggestion. So that we start with a general overview about the different items to bring us up to the same level, all participants. And okay, then let's start. So we have the item of consent agenda, which we already started to talk in Costa Rica about. So the background of that. So let me just briefly introduce that. So is the background is that the councils on council level we started to introduce a consent agenda following the let me say the behavior the board as well has had, and the discussion was then about that is that something and how should we deal with that in the future in a formal way with regards to that. So we ended up in the discussion in Costa Rica that Jay Scott was saying okay that he could provide us with some information on how or with a kind of proposal how that could be dealt with. And that is where we are staying at the time being. So I now see that Marika is bringing up to the screen an email from Jay Scott and with regards to the input on how content items are handled. So this is just briefly the overview about that. The question is, for me, is it understood by anybody what is your task, what we shall deal with that, how we shall deal with that? And so we should come up with a proposal to the council, up to the council, how the council could or should deal with that in future. At the end, you know, of the discussion in Costa Rica, the group was of the opinion that in the interim period until the proposal is on the table, the council could deal with it like it started. So that means there could be brought up a content agenda, but if there is any objection to any part, any item on this content agenda, and this item is to be removed from that content agenda. That's the way how the council handles it at the time being, and that's for the interim. So until we will come up with the final proposal for that. So so far for the overview, is there any question about this in general? So, Jonathan, please, yes.
I'm just repeating already what I've said on the chat there, Wolf. I mean, this looks very sensible to me. It looks like it's something which is considered and reasonable. As far as I can see, the thought, it makes tremendous, may well make sense going forward.
Okay, Jonathan, as far as I could understand, so, and maybe the others as well, you have a really bad line, I'm sorry to say that, but that may be technical, really technical problem. So you agreed to that, what was on the email from Jay Scott, so that's what I understood. I would suggest, so after we have had our general overview about the agenda items, that we can go into that and into more detail and talk about how we handle this in future for this. Is that agreeable? Marika, please.
This is Marika. I actually had a question for Jay Scott, because I just wanted to know, is this exactly the procedure that INTA uses, or in this you have already combined, you know, what the ICANN board does and what the Genius Health Council as an interim measure does in a proposed solution? Because I wasn't
clear on that. I could not open your document. I did speak with INTA, and I apologize. It took me a while because my contact that controls the consent agenda has had a relapse of cancer and has been out of the office. But I did contact them and basically went through their procedure, and everything I got from everyone I checked with that this is basically just a time-saving device that's used to clear non-controversial things off the agenda to leave more room and time on the agenda for those that require more consideration and discussion. And so I went out on the web and looked at several consultation sites that consult boards of directors and talked to several consultants, and that is what you have before you, is sort of the best practices from having talked to those consultants, and that's what's in front of you. So it's not necessarily a conglomeration of INTA, the board of directors at ICANN, or any other. It's having talked to several people that use these, then going out and talking to people who sort of don't have any agenda in any sort of organization, giving sort of the best practices, and that's what you have before you.
Okay. Thank you, Jay Scott, for this. I would suggest, since because it's brand new to all of us, so that we follow that, so we take that. Maybe we need some look into more detail afterwards, and we shall do that. So I'm later on just to have the common understanding on where we are staying at the time being, so that may be enough for that item just now. But Ron, I see your hand, and Jonathan, still your hand, you have your hands up. Is it still from the last time, or?
I think Jonathan is trying to call back in because his line was so bad, Wolf.
Okay. So Ron, please.
Thank you, Wolf. I wanted to ask the staff, Marika, Julie, or someone who's versed in this, what exactly is the GNSO Council doing now in this regard? How close is this document that has been produced by Jay Scott relative to that? Are there some meaningful differences between the two, or is this more or less what we're all functioning on? I was just wondering how far we have to slice this. Is it almost ready to go, or is there lots of changes and something we need to give more consideration to? I'm just trying to gauge that. Thank you.
Now, Marika, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. So as you can see on the Adobe Connect, what I did in Costa Rica, you know, following Jay Scott's volunteering to take a closer look at that, what I tried to do in the table that you see on the Adobe Connect screen is try to compare the procedures that are currently used by the board and the interim process that the GNSO Council is using. So what might be helpful is to try to put in here the procedure that Jay Scott has suggested, so it's easier then for people to see how that compares to the current practice of both the board and the GNSO Council, to see how that matches up and you know, whether there should be any further changes, or whether the procedure fits well, or you know, whether there should be further communication back to the council based on maybe different approach to what they're doing currently. I don't know if that will be helpful or not.
I think that will.
I think this is Jay Scott Evans. I think that Marika, just looking at this, I couldn't get what you sent to me earlier open. But now that I see it, I think that you're going to find that this matches up and even may be far more restrictive than what I've provided to you, at least at the GNSO level.
Well, thank you, Chase Cottrell. So this is, okay, so we have documents on the table already, so and what is needed in future as the next step is, well, really to go into those documents and to compare what is the, in the existing environment and how it is dealt with, and what is your best practices approach proposal, and then to talk about, you know, what's the differences and maybe the pros and cons on that, and the question of what should be done in the future. So that's how I see the way we should deal with that in that. I would like, following our request at the beginning, that we should try, well, in general to cover the point at the time being, is there any question on the basics for this item? This means for understanding, so what is it about and what is our target on that? So that should be covered right now, and then we should go to the next point and just present it in general, the next point. Is there any more general question about that? No, it is not, so I hear not. So then I would like leave it on hold right now, this point, and go to the next item point, which is deferral of motions. This point came up in the past several times in the council. As to my knowledge, I think we don't have a written rule of about the question, the deferral of motions. We have a more or less unwritten rule in the on council level, which means if a motion comes to the table, so there could be a requirement for deferral by any constituency or any stakeholder group, and this is normally accepted as in general, and there's no discussion on that. So because for one time it could be done, so because it may have different reasons to do so, and that's it. But we had also in the past sometimes requirements for more than one time deferral, and then the discussion came up and started. So why, and the reasons have not been accepted, and all these things. So we have a little bit an uncertainty how to deal with that in the future, and that this point is it about. So it could end up this point in an amendment of the rules of operations. So that's what is behind. So please, if you have any comment or question on that, please. I think it's Avi, because Jonathan is still hands up, but maybe Avi, please.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Avi. Actually, I think it's even more confusing than that, because you're absolutely right. We do have a practice that any constituency could, for any vote, ask for a deferral, and that would normally be granted once, though I see that it's actually been in one or two cases, I don't have it in front of me, that was where it happened, four times when it happened twice. But I think we also now have a complicating factor that in the, and Marika, correct me if I'm wrong, if this isn't in there, please. But I thought that we had added to the PDP the ability for an individual, not just on a constituency basis, but any individual member of council to request a deferral on a PDP-related vote once. And we went through a lot of discussion there, which means that we're in a situation of having two different processes in the council on the deferral of motion. One by constituencies for anything, and one by individuals for PDP-related votes. And so I just wanted to make sure that we added that complicating factor in. I'm not making an argument about right, wrong, what it should be or shouldn't. Just I believe it's more complicated than just common practice because of the new PDP procedures. Thank you.
Okay, just for my understanding, so you mean there are different, maybe regarding the term deferral, or deferral of, the one is deferral of motion, the other one is a deferral of a PDP, but this
no,
could you mean a motion related to a PDP?
Yeah, I meant a motion related to a PDP. Sorry, I spoke unclearly.
Okay. Juan, please.
Thank you. I'm wondering about there's a note here from Glenn to Marika in this when explained the type of motions, and below that it says we have noted the trend which was started but not carried on, proposing a motion for discussion before the motion is officially proposed for a council vote. So I wonder if Glenn might be able to share a little bit more about what was going on and what was trending there, so we can understand a little better, kind of some background on that if possible.
Yes, Ron, this is Glenn speaking. I put that in because I thought it might be a rather interesting point if we look at deferrals, that we could perhaps look at doing something other than deferring motions. And it was at a time when there was quite a lot complexity to the motion on the Inter-Register Transfer Policy B working group, and it was put before council to discuss first before it was put before council as a motion to vote on. So in other words, after the discussion, when the motion came to council in the second meeting, it could theoretically have been asked for a deferral. And it would have given a much longer period for people to discuss it, to go back to constituencies and stakeholder groups and come up with either amendments or their way of going to vote on the motion. And that's why I put it in there.
Well, if
because
I could follow up on that?
Yes?
Just to ask, did you view that as a positive thing or a negative thing in the context of what happened vis-a-vis going back to the constituencies for more dialogue? Was that a delay tactic? Could that be seen as a delay tactic and a gaming tactic as opposed to something that would be a good knowledge gathering time period?
I'm going to let the policy staff respond to that, and particularly Marika, because it was a motion that had to do with one of the work groups that she's responsible for.
Yeah, and this is Marika. I'm happy to comment on that because it's actually something that staff has been encouraging for some of the motions that we typically support in relation to PDPs or working group reports, where we often either together with the working group or with the council liaison prepare a motion. And we've suggested there, as there are often a lot of complex issues in there and some things that might need to be spoken through, that a motion is socialized with the council before it's actually introduced, as it's easier and probably less painful to try to come to compromise if there are any issues in there that either people don't agree with or don't understand, instead of trying to do that once the motion has already been introduced and then you have to go through friendly amendments and trying to do that on council calls, which is often hard. So there has been a deliberate approach from staff on some of those motions to really try to have those discussions beforehand, so that at the end of the day you might not need a deferral because there has been a lot of time already allowed for discussions and for people to come together, you know, by the time the actual motion is being introduced. So basically for the IRTP, and I think the same was done for the post-expiration PDP, I think in both cases that worked really well because it meant at the end of the day that, you know, when the motion came to the table, everyone already had an opportunity to, you know, have their say about it and then, you know, make clarifications or get points added that, you know, they weren't clear on, so that the motion in the end could be adopted, you know, with the full consensus and not needing additional time for stakeholder group and constituencies to go back to their members to, you know, discuss it again. So I think from my perspective in those instances, that was a very positive experience.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Okay, thank you, Bill. So, Jonathan, I'd like to hear your natural voice, please.
Thanks, Paul. Hopefully it's hopefully this is a little clearer than before.
Yes.
Good. it strikes me I'm in support of this. I know we're just discussing it now rather than, but I like this method of having, as Marika put it, being able to socialize emotion. I think there's a real danger with, I was quite surprised when I came onto the council that, and I'm a relative newcomer, that motion simply, you know, it can be quite surprising or even shocking that a motion just appears and you may not have discussed or considered it. Now, sometimes the motion is merely topping off or finishing off some work that's been done previously and is a sort of natural conclusion to a process. But at other times, it does feel that it comes a little bit more from, I don't know how much of an English expression this is, but from left field, you know, it sort of appears. So I'm certainly, in principle, I like the idea of the opportunity to discuss a motion in principle or the ideas behind a motion or a likely motion. So just to support that way of working as perhaps a less adversarial style of working. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Are there any general questions for this topic regards for the understanding what it is about and where we should go? So if not, so then let's step into the next topic just to give you an overview what is the work we have to do all about, because it's also a different topic. And this topic is on a proxy voting procedure. It comes from that situation. So we have a proxy voting rule in the rules of operation for the GNSO. And we are now on the other item. So it's the item 5. It's threshold rules needed for delaying a PDP. Sorry, but I skipped that. But this is the point. Where we should get an overview about that. So, and I refer directly to Marika, well, to do so. Please, Marika.
Yes, thank you, Wolf. This is Marika. Up on the screen, you see the note that I circulated to you all earlier this week. So to provide you a little bit of background on this item, and as you'll know, the new PDP was recently adopted. The new PDP actually provides on the number of steps of the road, provides options for delay or pausing. And Avery already referred to the deferral that's allowed on PDP votes, for example, that's built into the new PDP rules. There's also a new provision in there that allows for a termination of a PDP when there's a determination that, you know, there's no need to continue the PDP because either the issue has already been resolved, or, you know, for example, what happened in the vertical integration, that is really obvious that there's no consensus and, you know, there's no need to continue to work as there's not going to be any agreement. There's a provision built in there that the PDP can be terminated. But there actually is nothing currently in there that allows for delaying a PDP once it has already started. And this issue came up recently in relation to a vote that was taken on the initiation of a thick who is PDP. The PDP was initiated by the council in Costa Rica, but then the day after the wrap-up session, some members said, well, you know, we've initiated, but do we already immediately want to proceed with all the next steps, which is normally what happens once you initiate, you know, the, you form a drafting team for a charter and, you know, the train sets in motion. But the question is, do we want to wait? Because, you know, because of workload issues, because other discussions going on in the community, maybe it's not timely to immediately kick this off, but, you know, wait until a later date. But at a stage, we realize that there's actually not a mechanism in the PDP rules to do so. So staff looked at this issue and, you know, in the case of votes for which no threshold is defined, it's a simple majority vote that applies. So in this case, you could have the theoretical situation where a very low threshold is needed to initiate a PDP. I think it's 33% of both houses, or I think 66% of one. But you couldn't have a situation where one group initiates the PDP, but then the next moment the group that didn't want to initiate the PDP just turns around and says, we just want to delay it. We don't think it needs to happen now. So there's a potential for gaming in this situation. So we raised this at that time with the council leadership and, you know, from our perspective, recommending that a supermajority vote should apply in the same way as it applies for the termination of a PDP, and, you know, for the reasons explained, and you know, you see in the note as well some of the numbers that would apply to that. But the council leadership said as well, well, it's currently not spelled out in the PDP, so, you know, for in this case, we're actually just going to go with the simple majority rule, as, you know, we don't have anything else to go on, but we would like the SCI to look at this and see if this is an issue that they can address, and you know, whether it should be something that needs to be changed in the PDP rules, so that, you know, there's a clear voting threshold that would apply should the delay of a PDP occur. I think one thing to note there as well, that, you know, this might be an exceptional case, you know, where it has happened now, because we've seen already in past cases where such a delay is actually built in the initiation of a PDP. So, you know, another approach could be saying, okay, if the council wants a delay, it should actually do that at the time when it initiates the PDP, and there it clearly sets out what the timeline is for proceeding with the PDP. So there are, you know, two different approaches, but I think this is a scenario where, you know, we just want to make sure that, you know, we don't leave a loophole in there that would potentially create a situation where a PDP is initiated one day, but the next day it's delayed by a group that doesn't want to proceed with the issue for, you know, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Marika. So I think you just also strive this point that it might be necessary, though, during the discussion on that, to go into more detail with regard to the status of the PDP, which kind of status it has, it may have reached already. Maybe it's only initiated, or it's in between, you know, after maybe a working team is already working on that. So what does it mean? So maybe we have then to go into more details regarding that. Yes, then we have to talk about the questions of what definitely it may be related to the work which was done during the working team for the PDP. So that means the PDP rules may have to be changed in that or amended or in this regard. Ron, please.
Thank you.
Ron, I saw your hand.
Ron Andruff.
Yeah.
For my part, I'm really uncomfortable with the delay that you know, that took place just in this recent week. There was a delay after an initiation of a PDP, and the approach that was taken is that it happened on a Thursday post-council, when supposedly that would be an administrative meeting, not a continuation of council meeting, sitting as council. That's how I understand it. I could be wrong. But I'm just asking the question, what's driving a decision like this to be taken so suddenly on a Thursday after the Wednesday's council voted for the PDP? So the facts of this, you know, matter, and we need to understand them, I think, to be able to actually deal with this particular issue. But there should be a threshold, you know, to delay or change. That's clear. And I'm certainly a supporter of Marika and her comments about no loopholes. You know, what we're trying to do here is define a better ICANN While this is maybe some minutia, the whole process that just happened this past week of this approving a PDP and then stopping a PDP, it just doesn't make any sense. So I'm anxious to know a little bit more. I know there are four council members, you being one of them, Chair, but I'll defer to you. Perhaps somebody could share some insight as to what happened. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Marika, please.
Yeah, this is Marika. So basically, what happened was indeed in the wrap-up session, staff asked the question, okay, so can we proceed now and, you know, go out and form a drafting team to get together to develop the charter and, you know, prepare the charter, which then would need to be adopted and then have the working group started. So that was basically the staff's question, and I think then some people said, well, you know, do we actually have the capacity to go ahead with that at this stage? And some people raised as well, you know, the discussions that were going on simultaneously on you know, the .com agreement, and that no information was available at that stage, whether, you know, that might be already an issue that would be covered there. So at that stage, there was, you know, consensus. I don't think anyone objected in the council that, you know, maybe this should be delayed. But following that, you know, from staff, we then made a recommendation saying, well, you know, I think it's fine. If there's, you know, unanimous agreement that this should be delayed, that's all fine. But we do think a formal motion should be made. And one of the requirements, you know, that should be in such a motion is that there a specific timing is included as to when the PDP would continue, to really make clear that this is not a delaying tactic and, you know, postponing it endlessly, but really putting in a concrete date at which stage the PDP would continue. So that is what actually happened at the meeting last week. Then the council formally adopted the motion, I think spelling out that the PDP would basically continue on the 30th, I think, of November is the date that is in there. So in theory, at that date, then we would start, you know, forming the drafting team to develop a charter, and then the PDP would continue from there on.
Okay. Thank you, Marika. I just lost Adobe Connect. I don't know who is on the screen. I saw Jonathan before. Is it correct?
Yes, correct, Wolf. Thanks. Ron, just in response to your question and a minor sort of additional bit of color in the picture that Marika has just sketched, I guess one of the issues that certainly took place in our stakeholder group, that's the registry stakeholder group, one of the discussions that led up to our involvement potentially in the delay, although there were different feelings within the opinions within the registry stakeholder group. I shouldn't represent that this was a slightly challenging issue because it essentially affected one of our members. And I think one of the reasons for the concern was that there are many pressing items and many items of work that could be done and we could be getting on with as a council. So one of the issues was it the best use of resources in a resource-constrained environment to focus council resources generally, and by generally I mean both staff and councillors and others in the community, on a PDP that affected only one member as opposed to other potentially competing uses of the same resources which focused on areas that might affect all members. So that was certainly one of the, just sort of digging below to give a bit of insight into one of the themes of discussion. There was also at one point a discussion, as Marika said, in and about the fact that it was conceivable that a change to the way in which the .com registry was run would come out of the contractual negotiations. But when we discussed that in the registry stakeholder group, it was felt that we had some reservations about mixing in contractual and policy-based work. So that was really the flavor of the discussion within the registry stakeholder group. So as a consequence, there was no strong feeling to link the .com negotiations with this potential PDP, but certainly to the extent that it affected only one of our members, there was a support for delaying it to ensure that all other work that affected all members of the stakeholder group was undertaken as a priority. So that I hope that gives some additional insight of the sort that you were seeking.
Unfortunately, Jonathan, you've given me more questions than answers. If I may just have a follow-on, Chair.
Yes, please. One, do so.
You finished your statement a little bit with this, so I just wanted to understand more clearly. If I get this wrong, please correct me. But I understood that the whole point of this particular PDP, that there would be absolutely no coupling of it to the dot-com negotiations. So that was even, there's no question about that. Am I correct on that basis?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. So therefore, there was no correlation between the dot-com negotiations and this PDP. In fact, there was agreement, I understood, within the council that this was going to go forward in that format. But what I just understood you to say, and please correct this part, because I think I have it all wrong, is that one registry within your constituency had a problem with this PDP going forward because it affected them? Is that correct?
No, and that really would be not the correct way
please.
To...
Yeah, that's right. That's why I wanted to have clarification, because I'm not sure if I understood that correctly.
If anything, and I think that the records would show that I think VeriSign was quite keen to, and I'm reluctant to speak on behalf of one particular registry, but we're keen to see the PDP go ahead and felt that, or at least that the work commence on this as soon as possible. So on the contrary, I think they were not of a view that this should be delayed, from my recollection, but it was more that there was a more general feeling within the stakeholder group that to the extent that there was other PDP or work that required this, you know, potentially conflicting resources, it was important to get that work done that affected all members of the group rather than a piece of work that affected only one member of the group.
With Jonathan, with respect, the idea of a PDP in this regard is very, very important. So it's really, well, I'll leave it at that, but I thank you very much for the clarification.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Well, Wolf, just one closing remark. That's exactly what I hope to have done. I hope I haven't created more concerns or questions. Really, what I was trying to do was just provide additional information because you seemed, so that's really what I was hoping to, and I hope I haven't overstepped the mark in terms of talking on behalf of others.
Yes, okay. No, thank you very much. So I wouldn't like to cut the discussion, but we have just 10 minutes left, so I mean, we would like to cover the other points and then talk about how to cover these points in future to do so. And I'm seeing more and more that we have to split up our work in this regard. So now, right now, I have a situation here that I lost access to my computer and it's bad right now. So I don't have any access to Adobe, and I don't know the agenda anymore. I would like to ask my vice chair to assist me in that respect. So where we are, I think we have covered right now the thresholds in general. And if I recall exactly, so that was an additional point which came in the last day. It was a question of coordinating bringing into or aligning the different threshold rules in the bylaws, in the rules of operation, and this point was. So I would like to ask to Margie just briefly to introduce what is it about, please.
Wolf, I think we're still circling the proxy voting.
By me?
No, we're still circling the proxy voting item.
Oh yes, but I would like to do that discussion or just this overview in connection with the PDB threshold, because it came up. Isn't that related to this item?
No, I don't believe so.
The next item listed on, and other, the agenda had the deferral of motions, which covered, then it had threshold rules needed for delaying a PDP, and we discussed somewhat in there, though we did get more into detail on the substance of one particular case, and now we would be up to the proxy voting procedures, and either Mariko or Julie, I'm not sure who, has put on the proxy voting.
Okay.
PDF and on the view on the screen.
Okay, then let's do that. And I think that was Julie who brought that up to the screen. And let me just introduce briefly what is it about. Is it came up during the last council session because so we have proxy rules in the rules of operation, but there was a case that somebody was asking for a proxy, but it was not done in a written form. In a, as you know, it is described in the rules of operation, and the question was then how to deal with that, and whether the rules should be adapted well to cover, let me say, different situations where maybe no formal notification could be given. And maybe, Julie, you could help me and just provide some more information about that.
Yes, thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Julie. So what I've put in Adobe Connect is the excerpt from the GNSO Council Operating Procedures on Proxy Voting. This was the revised section that and revised language approved in the September 22nd, 2011, 2.3 version of the procedures. It was a sort of a set of streamlined changes that were produced by the OSC at that time. I would draw your attention to something that may be relevant in this discussion, and that would be Section C under proxy notification. It does indicate that a proxy notification must be sent to the GNSO Secretariat, indicating the type sent by the proxy giver's appointing organization and sent prior to the start of the relevant meeting. However, there is an exception noted. Exceptionally, a proxy notification may be given during a meeting by a council member who is present but needs to leave before a vote. In all cases, the most recent notification takes precedence. Two things I would note here that may be interesting for discussion is, first of all, this exception does not quite apply to the situation in the last council meeting, I think, because it was not a notification that was received by a member who had to leave the meeting, but by a member who was absent from the meeting. And also, I think that the email that was sent by the council member did not indicate that it was actually a proxy notification or that it was not in that form. The procedures here don't appear to suggest that an actual form has to be received. I think that that wording is not actually in the procedures. And Glenn has a precedent that she can bring up as well, I think, but I've noted that Avery has her hand raised, so I'll stop. But I think that's all I need to add at this point.
Okay. I cannot see any hand, please.
Yeah, my hand's the only one up, but I would certainly defer to Glenn for further information before I add my point.
Thank you, Avery. Thank you, Volvori. This is Glenn. I just wanted to bring your notice to on the 8th of September in 2010, there was a similar occurrence where two people asked for proxy votes to be taken during a council, just before the vote. It was at the meeting. And the chair then refused and said that the procedure had to be followed. And in the minutes, they asked that it be noted that if such and such a person was able to have given their proxy during the meeting to the proxy holder, that they would have voted in such and such a way.
Okay. So,
and
so
the two people, one was from the NCSG and the one was from the Registrar Stakeholder Group.
So we could, let me say, come to a point where we say, okay, we should follow the rules, but we could talk about the rules, and we could amend the rules, or make a proposal to amend the rules if we think that might be there might be cases which justify to do so. So that's the point which we should talk about to cover this point and to come up with a proposal for that. Any other you on that?
I'll go for Rick, just so you note, because you can't see, we have three people in the queue who've raised their hands. We have Avery, J. Scott Evans, and Ron Andrus.
Well, guys, I have to ask you, because I could stay for another, let me say, 20 minutes or half an hour. So how is your view on that? So could we have another 10 minutes or so? Is that okay? Okay, no objection. Please go ahead.
Okay, mine was just a quick point, and I'm not going to get into discussing the particulars because that's not what we're about. It's obvious, though, that the procedures we've got do have a timing window in them. As long as there is time to do it in advance and the sending of mail, and yes, it says nothing about forms, but it does say an email notification. So there's a gap between somebody making it to the meeting and then having to leave for some emergency or whatever reason, and somebody knowing enough in advance to put in the process of getting their chair to fill in a form, et cetera, et cetera. It still leaves a hole on the last minute, oh, something has come up, I can't make it. And that's where I think in both cases that we've seen there may have been an example of something hitting a window that has not been covered. So my thought would be if there's anything to be dealt with here, it is do we want to come up with something for that window? You know, not suggesting what, et cetera. So that's all I wanted to add. Thank you.
Okay. The next one, please. Enroll. Who is this?
J. Scott Evans, I think.
Yeah, J. Scott would be.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was on mute. This is J. Scott. I mean, my personal opinion is it becomes just an ever-ending cycle of amending the rules every time it's inconvenient for someone. I've had to do this as chair of the constituency on more than one occasion when I was chair of the IPC, and I can tell you it is not necessarily the most pleasant thing you have to do, but you should know the rules and what your obligations are when you take on the role as a counselor, and you should know the rules and you should abide by the rules. And people should know they know well in advance when these things are going to happen. It says before the relevant meeting, so if it comes up at the last minute, you should, you know, your constituency and group should have things in place. So I think if we just open this, we're just going down a rat hole.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jay Scott.
So mm-hmm. This is Ron Andruff. I'm next in line, Wolf.
Yes, please.
I fully support what Jay Scott just said. If an emergency, I appreciate where Avery is coming from, but if an emergency should happen, then that's the way it goes. It's the will of God kind of thing. It happened, and so therefore it happened. Because if you start to start making amendments for that last minute opportunity to shift a vote to another individual, and that vote should change because it's gone to another individual and it hasn't followed the processes, as it turns out, Avery, Wolf Ulrich, and myself were all on the very working group that spent hours and days and felt like months working on these proxy issues. And so the debate raged quite heavily, and we finally found a way to go forward as far as we could see it and to see how it would cover all of the angles and make sure there would be no gaming. And in fact, it was adopted by the previous committee to the SCI and then handed off to the council, and it was approved. And so at this stage, they need to go back and start to twiddling along with some little thing, try to find a little fix. It's a big error in my view. The amendment of the rules, in any case, as I understand it, amendment of the rules is too strong, but the review of these cases that come up really falls in this committee's department. So if there's any changes to anything happening, it's not happening anywhere else other than our consideration here and then being sent back to council. So I don't think this is something that council can suggest. We can find a better way because there's emergencies. I really fully support J. Scott. Thank you.
Okay. Any further comment?
Yeah, Wolf Ulrich, Jonathan Roberts, join the queue.
Yes, Jonathan, please.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks, Wolf. It's interesting. I mean, I too, as you've seen from the chat, support the view of rigorous application of the rules. We did have, in the spirit of this discussion that we're having, and we had an interesting one on the council recently. From memory, it was in and around the Red Cross and Olympic Strings and the motion regarding that. We had one member of the council who had been called out too, I believe, but in any event was on a mobile phone and dropped off during the course of the vote. And we had another where one of the council members, I think, hadn't yet joined. And in both instances, their participation or not may have swung the vote, which was a very critical issue. And so I guess I'm just adding this as a variant, having stated that I'm in support of rigorous application of the rules. In that instance, I was very tempted to move that we delayed the vote to ensure that everyone could participate and weren't prohibited from voting on the basis of a technical glitch. So I just throw that in for you to think about in terms of that being the kind of challenge that we might face. And in that instance, the chair held on as much as was reasonable in order to reconnect the disconnected member, which we fortunately were able to do, and the rest is history. But it could have gone the other way had we not been able to do so and the rules were applied rigorously.
Yes, Jonathan. So, thank you. Is there anybody else in the queue? No.
Julie, there's no one else in the queue.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, okay. So far, I think it's clear. You know what is it about, and what could happen. The pros, some pros and cons. So let's come to the last point. Just to be introduced, which is not definite defined on the agenda, but I send it to you in the afternoon. There was something about the alignment of the threshold rules in the different in the bylaws, in the rule of operations, and maybe in other rules as well. Margie knows about that. Please, Margie.
Yes, thank you. This topic came up because, as you may recall, under the new PDP, there were changes to the voting thresholds. And so the ICANN board adopted the voting thresholds at their meeting, I think it was in March, fairly recently. And so if you look at the operating rules and procedures, Annex 1 to the operating rules and procedures actually has the threshold chart, so it's really easy for Glenn to figure out what vote is required. And you can see Marika's posted it right now on the Adobe Connect room. And so the only thing that we suggested that this group look at was just confirm that we can update the Appendix 1 to reflect what was already adopted by the ICANN board in the bylaws change that happened about a month ago. So all we did was change it so that it's consistent with the changes that was made by the board. And those changes were, in fact, coming out of the PDP work group that was run by Jeff Newman. Aubrey was on that group, and that was all related to coming up with a new PDP model. And as part of that, there was a change in the voting thresholds. So that's all that this relates to. It's basically an implementation step in order to make sure that the operating rules and procedures are consistent with the new bylaws.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Margie. For my understanding, just a question, is it, so if I look at that question, so it seems to me that it is just a formal issue, because, you know, I understand that those rules should be coordinated. If something has been agreed on that level for the new PDP, then it should be adapted and accepted, so in other rules as well. If there's nothing more behind that, which I couldn't see at the time, being so the question is just what should the SEI do with it? Propose to the council, well, to adapt those different rules, to accept it as it is from the new PDP, or is there more discussion to be done about that? Did anybody?
Once this group is comfortable with what this is, it could be part of the recommendations that come out of this group as just one of several issues that if something comes up on the other item, that this is just a formality.
I mean, my question was: do we have any chance, to go different ways? You know what I mean? That means it is not clear that we have to follow those rules, and to fulfill the formality in accepting what was done in the new PDP. So that is my question. Is there any comment from anybody else? Or question? So did anybody else raise their hand? No? Okay, that is my question. So is there a discussion needed, or is it something just somebody has to draft a proposal which is directed to the council in order to adapt the or to coordinate these different documents which are available.
So Wolf Borica, this is Julie Hedlund. Ron Andruff has raised his hand.
Yes, Ron, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry. I've listened and I'm looking and I'm lost. I'm really not quite sure exactly what is it specifically that the SCI has been asked to do here with regard to this documentation.
Yes, well, what I understood is that there is a formal need, to adapt those different documentation, the bylaws, with the PDP rules and with the rules of operation related to the PDP. There is an annex to the rules of operation with regards to the PDP, as I have learned, and this annex should be adapted to the new to what was decided by with regards to the new PDP. So this is how I understood, and this process has to be made official.
So if I frame this in my own words, what's happened is we've gone through some changes within the organization that we arrived at through the various working teams, and certain policies and bylaws have been established, and some documents were outliers. They never got kind of harmonized with the original documentation. Could someone from staff clarify that's true or in my thinking or incorrect?
It's Margie. Essentially, this is harmonizing it, that's right. To now that the board has formally accepted the voting threshold, we have to go back now and make sure that the operating rules and procedures are consistent with the updated bylaws. And so since this is an annex to the operating rules and procedures, there needs to be some formality in accepting them. And so that's what we're talking about.
Okay. Well, then, if that's the case, Chair, if I may, I would recommend the staff just come back to us with some clarification language that we can review and understand that fits the need and check this one off the list relatively quickly. I don't see that there's too much difficulty in this if, in fact, it's simply just getting documentation right. This is administrative activity, unless staff feels otherwise.
Hi.
Yes.
It's Aubrey. I just stuck myself in the queue. And Krista did also.
Oh, yes, please, then. Aubrey?
Okay. I was just thinking that, you know, we've seen this now, we've done the informational bit on it. I think that we should come back, we should talk about it, and then if we recommend it, we should send it back up to the G Council and say, hey, this looks like something you should put in your consent agenda, or this looks like something you should vote on, just to make sure that it's been formalized, I think. And I think, I ask, actually, if that would fit what staff is looking for in terms of formalizing, getting it into the GOOP, into the GOP. Oh, wow, it's like Republicans. Into the GOP.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. And then you have Krista still with her hand up.
Okay, Krista, please.
Thank you, Chair. This is Krista. So I was with Ron. I wasn't really following what we were talking about, but that's been clarified. I just want to make sure the document that we're looking at in the Adobe Connect is what staff has pulled together, proposing what the new threshold should look like based on the new PDP and what the board voted on. That's correct, right, Margie?
Yeah, the voting thresholds have already been voted on. This doesn't change the thresholds in any way. What this does is give Glenn a very simplified chart as to when there's a vote. She knows exactly which, you know, how many members from each house, you know, is needed to pass the motion. So this is just
a document that helps facilitate, you know, the voting, but it doesn't change the voting threshold because that already happened.
Okay. Okay. That I just was looking for clarification on that last bit. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anybody else on that point? Not yet. So thank you. So right now, I think we went through the agenda in very, very briefly. So, and now it is a question how to structure and how to deal with that work. So let me just tell you my impression. So I learned a lot. So and it seems to me that we have to split up the work. So it's if possible, and we could do so we should do some of these points in parallel, because it may be the case that different people do different things. But in case if somebody would work on more than one of this item, then we should talk about how to deal with that. So this is my impression in the first one. So from that point of view, I would like, if you agree, go just through the points and ask for, let me say, for volunteers.
Is my
proposal. Well, let's talk about the how to manage the work. So I'm open to anything else. And then if you could have some volunteers to some of these points at first, and we start with that, those points, and then we'll see what and fulfill that, and then one after the other do the other points. So that could be a frame of this work. So any comment, please?
Yes, I put my hand up. This is Avery. We're already 15 minutes basically after the call is supposed to end. Several people have already dropped off. What I recommend is that we take this discussion to the list and put completing this discussion at the beginning of the next one. But, of course, if we can satisfy the fine volunteers bit on the list, great. But I suggest that we stop this meeting now as opposed to continuing when not everyone is here. Thank you.
Oh, okay. That's a good suggestion. So, okay.
Ron has his hand up.
Yes.
Hear
otherwise. Ron, please. Yes.
Yes. No, this is Ron Andruff. I support Aubrey. I was going to say exactly the same thing. And I would just add another second suggestion that staff has done, I think, a fine job. Marika's gathered up notes on all of this. If you post those notes to the meeting with a form saying, you know, who would like to volunteer for it. So here's the block of text and here's the form. Here's the place where you can sign up. Then we can all kind of look through the various elements and then make our choices accordingly. And I think, like Aubrey said, we can probably do this pretty quickly on the list or certainly by the next meeting.
Yes, very helpful, yeah. Any comment else on the list? Not yet. So that's a good proposal. Marika, could you cover that? Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
That's fine.
Fine. So and afterwards we'll start on the list to follow up with that discussion. Then we can also send out a doodle later on. So for the next meeting, so depending on the progress we make. And okay, that's it for today.
Well, this is Marika. Can you maybe just confirm with regards to the doodle for when you would like to schedule a next call?
What time frame? I would say, so for my feeling would be after 2 weeks, if that is okay, after 2 weeks, or let me say, or between 1 week and 2 weeks. I'm open to that as well. But the question is, when is the next council meeting? Is it in 2 weeks?
It's on the 10th of May for Fulrich.
The 10th of May?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, okay. So then if we have one meeting. So today is Thursday. Thursday is a good day for the others as well this time. Is that convenient to you? Seems to be, huh? It was the best one we could find. So let's keep that. So the question is whether we could come up already by next week with something on the which date we have next week? Now, 19th, 26th.
The third of May will be a 2-week interval.
The 3rd of May.
Yes,
so
let's
fix it for the 3rd of May, I would say.
Okay, at the same time. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, bye-bye all.
Okay, thank you very much. And excuse me, so that I lost the connection to all of my computer. Thank you very much, and see you again.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Wolf Ulrich. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.